Joining us now by phone, we have Pensacola City Council President Jared Moore. Jared, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good early morning, Andrew.
hey, you got 2 hours more sleep than I did. I don't know what you're going to... Just joking.
That's right. I don't know if your listeners know how dedicated you are to bringing us all the latest and greatest, but there's no doubt you're up texting last night late, and we get out of that meeting at 10:30 and up this morning, chipper and bright as ever this morning. So,
yeah, I just don't believe in sleep. I mean, it's just not necessary. So one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I was kind of halfway following the conversation, but I didn't feel like I understood where the landing was on the food trucks. What was the final decision last night on the food trucks, and what's kind of the current status of their operation?
Okay, sure. So it's kind of a nuanced, complex issue. I don't think anybody is in their position wanting to prohibit food trucks. You know, so there's all these little nuanced laws. As the legislative body, it lands right in our lap to make the situation better. There's what we've identified the problem as is that there is some ambiguous language within the code, and it's not there once, but twice. So there's the section in Chapter 11 of the code that talks about parking, where it has this language, and there's a part in Chapter 12, which is the Land Development Code. Those two codes are governed differently, so any changes in 11 we can make at a regular meeting like that. And anything in Chapter 12 in the Land Development Code has to go through a review process with the Planning Board. So as much as everyone wanted to just snap their fingers last night and make it all better, there's a process we have to go through. So the first step we took last night was to send that language in the Land Development Code to the Planning Board to ask them to review and consider a repeal of that language. There's no reason to have it in there twice. And that legislation was sponsored by Councilman Casey Jones. And then he also sponsored the other side of that for 11, that brings an amendment to the language in Chapter 11. And it basically targeted, there was some uncertainty as to whether that ordinance applied to public or private land. So It explicitly states, it improves the ordinance by saying explicitly, this is public land, not private, so restricted to public land. There's some ambiguity in the ordinance as it related to the phrasing, selling of merchandise.
Right.
So it struck the language having to do with selling of merchandise, and then it created a specific zone south of Garden, north of Main. I believe it was Tarragona and Balin in between there. So it kind of creates a little box within the historic core of downtown and says, this is an area where food trucks should not be operating as a safety issue and as sensitivity to the context there. But everywhere else, you know, it would operate within that amended language in Chapter 11.
Okay, so there's a state law that says you can't just outright prohibit food trucks, which we don't fall subject to because we're not outright prohibiting them. We're picking zones and we're creating a layered kind of approach. The Land Development Code stuff really shouldn't be there in the first place, because what is parking a food truck on a right-of-way selling pot stickers have to do with Land Development Code? We want that to get removed, but the Planning Board has to do that. As far as the ordinance goes from the City Council, there will not be any food trucks operating on public land in that kind of 3 to 4 streets east and west, and then Garden to Main north to south. But outside of that zone in the city is basically fine. That's going to take a second reading, and it also is going to take the repeal of the Land Development Code part. Do I have it basically right?
That's correct. So most likely that Chapter 12 part will hit the Planning Board in October. So possibly as early as the second meeting in October, we'll be able to hear the repeal for the first reading. So most likely November. That's just to speed the wheels turn, but
right.
So probably November is when we'll see all these pieces finalized.
So this weekend, if I go to Seville and there's a truck parked on a street, okay, what happens?
Well, it depends. And on the discussion last night that was there, if there's an unlicensed food truck, that is all regulated by the state. So there's been reports that there's unlicensed vending taking place down there in front of Seville. Then that would be an issue for law enforcement, and that they would be involved in that as a If it's within that box, the no-go zone, as the sponsor called it last night, then that would be an issue for code enforcement, and they would respond accordingly.
Okay, so food trucks are – we're even though this hasn't finally been passed into effect, well, I guess because the old law would prohibit it more in general. So the instruction to code enforcement is going to be to limit their enforcement to as if the new law was passed. Is that roughly right?
Well,
it's just confusing. Andrew, it's confusing for patrons and food trucks is my concern.
Yes, and I think that's kind of, as I stated, nobody's against it. We've got to dive into this legislation because it's legislation that could be much improved.
Sure.
I think that was our first step last night that takes us to where we go. I do believe we're going to have to do additional work, and I'm going to talk to the council executive this morning about getting us a workshop schedule. Where, you know, I think there's probably a larger context there that needs to be considered, and probably it's going to take a little bit more robust amendment of that ordinance language to take that ambiguity out. The ambiguity is what's caused the problem in the first place.
Right.
And so I think that was a great first step, but I think we're going to have to consider specifically how we regulate that in the dense business district, the historic district, and as we're making these considerations on how to develop the waterfront redevelopment district, which includes Community Maritime Park.
Yeah.
There are going to have to be some considerations for these very things moving forward. And I think in that kind of footprint, we're going to need to look at probably more robust ordinance that has a little bit more detail. But this was definitely the step we could take, you know, in the time frame that we had to get things published and noticed and be able to get them added to the agenda to move us in that direction and hopefully take a little bit of the pressure off. There's still some ambiguity there as far as what is a duly established marketplace.
Sure, right.
But we will continue to work on it to eliminate as much of the gray as possible.
Yeah, and I know it's a complicated topic. I know you guys were kind of put into a box by the way this was all handled in the first place, which itself was a result of the way it wasn't handled in the past. I mean, you know, I'm not looking to assess any blame here. I just know it's a complicated thing. And basically, we want food trucks. We just don't want them in certain places, and how to get from here to there is the challenge. Somebody texted me, and just as a follow-up, we don't need to comment, but I'm sure code enforcement's super thrilled to be working tomorrow night or tonight. Yeah, I know. That's maybe you call in sick. Can't be there tonight. Okay, so a couple of other things that happened. One is Sherry Myers finally got the approval to go ahead with the Marketplace Stormwater Retention Pond Beautification Project there just off of Tippin at the intersection of Summit, which I love this plan, but this is cool, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of development happening over there. You know, having grown up there, it's always just been a big wooded parcel, and you drive over there now, it's almost shocking how much development has taken place in there. So it's a whole different consideration, that context there. To have a big dry retention pond is you know, probably not appropriate any longer. So appreciated Sherry's vision on that, appreciate her commitment to it. I know that in my time on council, she's made several presentations, and I think we were all relieved to see a budget resolution there with viable funding sources. And it passed unanimously, so my read is everybody was glad to see that move forward.
No, it's a good thing. It's going to be good for the bees and the butterflies and the birds and the walkers and the beautification. I mean, it's all upside, in my opinion. I love this plan. It's, you know, I don't often get to say, great idea, Sherry, but great idea, Sherry. I absolutely love it. One of the other things you guys approved, not last night, but in your budget work this week, was funding for the Chappie James Memorial and also funding for the Women Veterans Memorial Monument. More funding for the Chappie James Memorial and somewhat less for the women, but a pretty significant amount of money that's coming out of what, surplus funds that were sitting around for the Sanders Beach Community Center. Is that roughly right?
That's right. There was an expansion plan. So there was a lot of money allocated for Sanders Beach Community Center. They were looking to purchase some adjacent property. Everyone knows real estate's crazy, so it was kind of determined, hey, this expansion is not going to be possible in this real estate market. So how do we reappropriate these dollars where they can be used for the citizens and not sitting here in a fund that's really not got a chance in the foreseeable future? So we took those dollars, and they are LOST, local option sales tax dollars. There are certain provisions, conditions, restrictions that apply to LOST dollars. the government entity has to own whatever is constructed with those dollars, and they have to be used for construction. So you can't use them for a lot of these soft costs. So in the case of the Monument to Women Veterans, they came and asked us for about $71,000, but some of that was soft cost related. So what it narrowed down to, there was probably $20,000 that looked like, okay, that's probably for sure construction, that's appropriate. So the approval is conditional in that we can move forward in a way that it will all be LOST appropriate. So as far as ownership and the project moving forward, that will be secured before the dollars are appropriated, and then it allows them to keep moving. On the Chappie James, same restrictions. So it will have to be used for construction, and then that monument will be owned by the city. And really, this is, you know, something you've heard from the council in recent years more and more, the idea of this public art. So we obviously had Holly Benson, who came in as a benefactor and right. provided that the public art recently. This is the same thing. There's been a lot of talk of Unity Project and, you know, just a desire to see public art in the community. And so this is the step we took, I think, to recognize and honor a great Pensacolian, their legacy as far as the Chappie James, and to create this very impactful public art.
Yeah, I think I speak for everybody in saying we love the two projects. I wish we could have found a way not to have to do it with public money. I'm not sure that I'm bothered by it particularly. It's just that would have been a better outcome. But nevertheless, they're going to be great projects when they wind up getting done. The statue and the plane for Chappie, and the flame monument for the women veterans. Jared Moore, he is city council president for Pensacola. Jared, we're totally out of time. I have like four other things I wanted to ask you about, but that's what happens. Thanks so much for joining me very early this morning. Tell Francie I said I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All righty. Thanks, Andrew. Have a good one.